Next, we are very pleased to have the Executive Director for Wisconsin Democracy Campaign with us, Mike McCabe.
Thank you. Thanks to all of you for coming. It's wonderful to see standing room only, sitting room only. George Lakoff is a powerful magnet, and we're lucky to have him here. And I know a lot of you came to hear George speak and to soak in his wisdom. I think for Nate and all the people who put this together, they deserve another round of applause for bringing us all together. We gather here in the midst of historic levels of income and wealth inequality. And I trust that everybody in this gym, perhaps not everybody outside this gym, but everybody inside this gym understands that this condition has been politically engineered. It did not happen by accident. It is the direct result of countless policies that have been adopted by our elected representatives. And they have created conditions that have not existed at any time in our lifetimes. There's a little bit of gray hair in this audience, but there ain't nobody here old enough to remember the Gilded Age, the age of the robber barons. Well, we have revisited that time. We have levels of income and wealth inequality that mirror those of the Gilded Age, and it has been politically engineered. Political inequality produces wealth inequality, and then in turn, that growing wealth and income inequality produces yet more political inequality. And we confront these conditions today as we gather. We also gather at a time when we are almost a quarter century into an experiment with school privatization. And after almost a quarter century, this experiment has not produced the dramatic system change, the dramatic improvement in student achievement that was promised. In fact, by any measure you care to look at, the students who are receiving these private school vouchers are doing no better than their public school counterparts. And by some measures, they're doing worse. And yet, after almost a quarter century of this experiment, we find ourselves at a point where the people who are taking advantage of these vouchers are the people who are already sending their kids to private school anyway. So all we're doing is subsidizing those who are already making that choice. We're not providing any additional educational opportunity. And I couldn't help but notice, when you think, why would we continue down this road for almost 25 years, throwing good money after bad, pouring money down a rat hole that isn't producing educational improvement? Why would we do that? I couldn't help but notice that we could count up $97 million that privatization interests have poured into Wisconsin elections, and we could count up $10.5 billion from voucher opponents into Wisconsin elections. So by a 9-to-1 margin, those in favor of this experiment are outgunning those who are against it, and there you have a very good explanation as to why we are continuing down this road, and we are not debating whether to end this experiment that has failed, but instead our lawmakers expanded it statewide. And there were 97 million reasons why they did that. And we gather at a time when we are watching backward, absolutely backward, transportation and energy policies forced down our throats. We throw away $800 million for high-speed rail. We send it to other states. We all pay federal taxes. We've all sent our share to Washington, and Washington went to send $800 million back so that we could go down the road of high-speed rail, and we said, send it somewhere else. Send our money to some other state, because we don't want it. And people thought that was a curious choice to be gentle in my assessment. And then we watch wind energy being blocked at every turn. We see dozens of wind energy projects obstructed, and people wonder, why are we doing that? Well, I can give you 5 million reasons without looking beyond one family. Aside from what Mary talked about with the buses that are rolling advertisements, and aside from the Mini Coopers, and aside from all of that work that they're doing to educate voters, there was at least $5 million spent on political advertising by the Koch brothers alone. If you don't know this, they're in the oil business, and they really want to keep people driving cars, and they want to sell every last drop of fossil fuel. They do not want wind energy. They do not want high-speed rail. And so you don't even have to look at the entire oil industry. You just look at one family, and you got 5 million reasons why these policies have been put in place, why backward transportation and energy policy is being forced down our throats. And then, of course, you see people watching their landscape altered, and they are scared to death about their air and water quality. They're watching hills disappear. And of course, in the Pinoki Range, they're watching a return to a 19th century industry, when we are doing so much to block the development of a 21st century economy. They have state lawmakers forcing a return to a 19th century industry down their throats, and you wonder why. Why are we so resistant to a 21st century economy, and we are so drawn to a 19th century economy? I couldn't help but notice $16 million in campaign donations from interests supporting iron ore mining, as opposed to about $25,000 in donations from those opposed to mining. 610 times more money to our elected representatives from those who wanted that mining bill, and they passed that mining bill. I can't help but notice a 2,100% increase in just 6 years in donations from sand mining interests. Now, Republicans used to be for local control. Now they're for controlling the locals. And even when a county like Trempealeau County says, we're going to pass a moratorium, we're going to say, let's just take a time out here, because we got real concerns about these hills disappearing and dynamite blasting in our backyards and the damage to our roads and what's going to happen to our air when you got all this silica dust floating around and what's happening to our water. Let's take a time out. And that's what their local representatives did, and their state representatives they sent to the Capitol said, no, we're gonna nullify all of those decisions, and we're gonna say, let these sand mining interests do as they please. And there was a 2,100% increase in donations from that industry that explains why local officials took the exact opposite position as those same people's state representatives. And that is what we are all up against. And clearly, this is going to sound funny coming from me. Those of you who know the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, you know that we've been working an awful long time for campaign finance reform. But this is going to sound funny coming from me, but you know, there's something even more important that we need than campaign finance reform. We need political party reform. We have to face facts. We have to accept that if you go out there and you don't just talk to partisans, but you talk to normal people. You talk to normal people, and what you find is what they are thinking is that they are not being represented. They do not believe their voices are being heard, and they do not believe their interests are being served. Right. And that is a failure of both political parties. And when I say that, I do not mean that the two political parties are the same. They are very different. They are very different parties, and they are failing America and failing Wisconsin in different ways, but they are failing us nevertheless. And there is something even more important than political party reform that we need. You see, we have had economic austerity imposed on us now for decades. But at the same time, we have willingly accepted intellectual austerity. We've been willing to have intellectual austerity imposed on us as well. And here's what I mean by that. Almost everything about our lives has changed since the time of our founders. What we do for work, the roofs over our heads, the food that we eat, the clothes that we wear, how we travel, everything about American life has changed. But when you think about the way we think about politics and talk about politics, you even think about our political vocabulary, it's like we're stuck in a time warp. I spoke to the Wisconsin Farmers Union Convention recently, and I asked them, how many of you own a donkey? And much to my surprise, nobody's hand went up. This was a group of farmers, 250 of them. And I said, okay, how many of you own an elephant? And not a single hand went up. Even the symbols of our major political parties date back to the 19th century. And then think about this. Instead of thinking about what's right and wrong, we've been convinced to think about who's left and who's right. And think about that horizontal spectrum that we seem to be trapped in. What if you flipped that spectrum vertically? And you didn't think about who's left, who's right, who's liberal, who's conservative, who's middle of the road, but you think who's on top and who's on the bottom and who's somewhere in between. And now think about some poor man in Clark County where I grew up on a dairy farm. He's white, he's poor. Clark County is one of the five poorest counties in Wisconsin. And then think about a poor black woman in Milwaukee. That man, Clark County went by more than 30 percentage points to Scott Walker in the 2012 election. That man is almost certainly Republican. That man is almost certainly conservative. That man is almost certainly on the right. And then take that black woman in Milwaukee. She's almost certainly Democrat. She's almost certainly liberal. She is on the left. You flip that spectrum vertically, and you think about who's on top and who's on the bottom, and those two people are exactly in the same spot on the political spectrum. We are allowing ourselves to be trained to think about politics in ways that divide people who ought to be united. If there has ever been a time to have George Lakoff come to Wisconsin, it is now. And if there has ever been a time for political invention and to break free from the shackles of the way we think and talk about politics, it is now. And as much as we need reform of money in politics, we need political party reform, we need political invention, we need new ways of talking and thinking about politics. And that is why I am so very happy that George Lakoff is here today and that all of you have chosen to come today as well. We have got to think ourselves and talk ourselves out of this mess. Thank you.
Just add one more item to Mike's list: think, talk, and organize. Organize. And organize. Thank you, Mike.